Welcome to the Permatemp Corporation. A presentation of the audio podcast, This Is Actually Happening. Episode 46. What if your wife ran you over?
Me and my wife, we met, we was dating each other back 91, 92. We didn't decide to get married until 99. And it wasn't like out of the blue, we decided to have the kids. We have four girls, one son. So we have, actually we have a 23-year-old, 22-year-old, a 19-year-old, 17-year-old, and then my last daughter came up. And that's when it all broke loose. We had our baby daughter, and she was suffering. I didn't know anything about it. This is the first time the doctor told me she was suffering from postpartum. I didn't see any signs. That's the thing. I don't know. I never knew what it looked like or what it was. All I knew was she was just having a hard time breastfeeding the baby, and she was having a hard time just relating to things. She would cry a lot. And feel less thin after, like, I don't have my shape or my figure back. I'm out of shape. I'm not the same person I used to be. And so it was those normal trips goes through a person's head. And she always had problems about acceptance about herself because she doesn't have large breasts. I tell her she's fine. You don't need anything like that. But she has this thing that she wanted them. So any other woman with big breasts, it's like a threat to her all the time. I think she has a mass hysteria about body image. She's always been a protective person. She just thinks that I'm out doing something on her. She, for some reason, she just, I'm looking at her like, why? I don't need to, I'm satisfied. But it's because of her abandonment issues that she thinks that man is gonna leave her, men is gonna leave her in her life. So she creates these stories, and It's kind of hard, but I'm trying to do the best I can. I deal with it because I love her. Love is stronger than anything. This was August 11th, 2002. I was 42 years old. Me and my wife was in a car going to see an escrow agent. I was about to buy a house, so I was wanting to get this loan. So my wife had a six-month-old baby daughter in the car. So as we were driving down the street, woman coming out the store with big boobs. I never saw to this day. I don't even know what the woman looked like. I never saw her. So as we're riding, she's getting mad. She's huffing and she's puffing. And I'm like, what's wrong? She said, you know what's wrong. Like, what are you talking about? You know what you did. What did I do? You saw that woman, you know, one with the big breasts. You don't want me to get an implant surgery, but you want to look at all these women with big breasts. I said, what are you talking about? I never saw the woman. I don't even know what she looked like. We keep driving. We drive about two more miles. We pull into the escrow agent's parking lot. And my wife reaches over and punches me in the mouth. And she busts my top lip and bottom lip. I'm bleeding all over my suit. I can't walk in and ask this guy for a $250,000 loan. I'm bleeding all over the place. So I get up and say, this is it. I'm through. This don't make no sense. I'm finna walk out of here. So I get out the van. We was in the van. I got out the van to walk away. I didn't know my wife was suffering from postpartum. So as I'm walking away, I'm walking down the street, and all I can hear is, and the minute I look behind me, she had drove the van on the sidewalk. And as I was running, I felt the van coming down upon my back. So I felt it. I'd rather, if I get hit, I might just get clipped and flipped up in the air than just get ran straight over. So I jumped up in the air, and as I jumped up in the air, she pinned my legs up against the fence like this. So I was pinned in the air between the ground and the van, up in the air, pinned. She moved the van back. I fell down because I was pinned up in the air against the metal gate and the van. So I fell down, so I just started rolling on the ground because I was like, oh, my legs, I can't believe you crushed my legs. And she, oh my God, I was just trying to scare you. I didn't really mean to do it. I said, go, just drive off, go. I'm rolling in the middle of the street, bleeding all over the place. She don't want to go. She's in a panic. Luckily, God is a good witness, because a guy who was an EMT saw the whole accident, got out of his car, stopped, turned the car off, give him the keys, sit down on the curb, and he came over and he did some medical scissors on my legs to stop the bleeding, and told me to calm me down and keep me from passing out. My ankle was turned back the opposite direction. I was just trying not to go in the shop, because he kept talking to me. Hang in there, buddy. Don't pass out. Don't think about it. If I was looking at him like, don't think about it, okay. I have a plastic knee. This is a whole plastic knee. This is my right leg. It has a rod, a plate, six screws. The bone came out of the skin right there. Police came, of course. They rushed me to Eden Hospital. The police was trying to call on the cell phone somebody in our family who could come pick up our six-month-old baby daughter. They couldn't get a hold of no one. So they immediately turned it over to Child Protective Service. That's how they got into the whole mess. So CPS said, I'm going to come in and take your daughter. So I go to the hospital. They do the operation, do seven operations on my legs and make me able to walk again. My wife goes to jail, and the DA wants me to press attempted murder charges. But we got five kids together all total. I can't press attempted murder charges against my wife. I don't press any charges. They get totally upset. They're so furious that they sentenced me to anger management for a year. I said, I'm the victim. What do I need to go to anger management for? Need to know how to operate, understand violence when violence happens. So when next time this happens between you and your wife, you know how to exit and get out of there in time. So they finally charged her, since it was her first felony ever convicted of anything. They gave her assault with a deadly weapon, which was a vehicle, 6 months in jail, stay away order, 5 years felony probation. They kept my daughter for 2 months. Then they said, we're going to release your daughter back to you. And your wife has a 6 month, she has a stay away order, and she's in jail. But as long as you can maintain your daughter by yourself, everything's okay without any more problems. So I got my daughter back. I'm taking care of my daughter on a walker. I carry her in one hand like this. I use a walker like this, walk with the walker like this, and take care of her like that. And my other kids who was staying at my mother-in-law's at the time would come over and help me out over the weekend. 6 months go by. Then she gets out, unbeknownst to me. I just dropped off my baby daughter at my mother-in-law's. I'm at this store, and I'm on my walker because I'm using a walker to walk. A couple sees me having trouble carrying my grocery basket, and they said, you can't do this by yourself. I'll just give you a ride. How far you stay? I said, thank you. I stay two blocks away from here. I just got a bottle of wine. I'm finna sit down and guys like to come up, have a glass of wine. He said, sure, no problem. I didn't know my wife had snuck up in the house. She snuck up in the house with my baby daughter. When I came in, all she hears is, let me get you a seat and you can sit down here. Our kitchen has a partition that blocks it from the living room. So I was making seating arrangements for them in the living room where the table was. So I went in the kitchen to get an extra chair. That's when I looked up and I saw her. She runs out the kitchen, this with a butcher knife, chases them around in the house, saying, what, you trying to have a threesome in here or something? I'm like, what are you doing here? Why? What is my daughter doing here? And I hear the couple running. They're running in circles in the house, around the kitchen table, around the dining room table. And when I got a chance to step in between her and separate her from them, they hit the door and ran out the door and was gone. Never saw them again. She thought me and the guy and the woman was about to have a threesome. And I'm looking at her and saying, what are you doing here? Don't you know you have a stairway order? What's going on? Why did you bring my daughter here? She says, you just don't understand, do you? You don't know how much I love you. Why do you do these things to me? Why do you take me through these things? I'm saying, what are you talking about? She says, don't you know how much I love you? And I go, what do you mean? She says, I'll show you. And this is when she rushes past me, and we're on the second story of this building, and jumps over the rail. And I'm just in total disbelief. Like, so my natural instinct was to rush to her aid. Not close the door, not think about anything else, but just rush to her aid. I get on the walker, I walk to the steps, walk to the landing, get down the stairs. As I'm about to get all the way down the stairs and turn around where my wife is unconscious, laying on the ground, I get tackled by five police officers. The neighbor downstairs heard us arguing, called the police, and thought I threw my wife over the rail. So police said, "We got you now. You're going to jail for attempted murder." Next thing I know, I hear, crack. My 12-month-old baby daughter walked out, fell through the rail, hit the palm tree. The palm tree suppressed her fall. She fell right there. I'm in the middle looking over at my wife on this side, my daughter on this side. So I'm looking this way, and I don't even know where my allegiance is supposed to go to, who it's supposed to go to. Do I think more about my wife or do I think more about my daughter? And he said, "Well, you shouldn't, please just hit me in the back of the head and pushing the billy clubs in the back of my neck." So you shouldn't worry about them, you should be worried about yourself. The police kept me down in interrogation for 13 hours because they was trying to charge me with attempted murder. He said, "Excuse me, but we got good news and bad news. We're not going to charge you with attempted murder. We're going to let you go. But the bad news is, my captain says we have to charge you with something. So we're going to charge you with child endangerment because you left the door open." And I was like, "I don't believe this. I still get a felony behind this." And they took my baby daughter from me. So they rushed my daughter to Children's Hospital. Said she had a severe head trauma. If she wouldn't have hit the palm tree, she probably would have been dead. She recovered to what? To be taken away anyway? I mean, but that's what happened. She recovered and they took her away anyway. Said that we were unfit parents to bring up a daughter in an environment like that. We didn't get to see her no more. That's it. We haven't seen her in 12 years. The last time I saw her was right after we went to court. And he took away our parental rights. And he says, "You guys got 15 minutes to say your goodbyes." And that's it. Because he don't want to upset the baby. So he let my daughter loose in this room at CPS agency. And gave us 15 minutes to say our goodbyes. That was heartbreaking, man. I mean, it was like she knew. Because she hugged me. This is the honest to God truth. When my daughter hugged me, she patted me on the back like, "Daddy, it's going to be okay. It's all right." And she'd never done it before. Never patted me on the back like this before. She knew that she wasn't going to be able to see us again. She felt it. It was a child's intuition. She felt it. I felt so embarrassed. I left out the room and walked down the street. And I put myself together about 20 minutes later. I felt resentment and hate at first. I couldn't believe that because I was a very athletic guy. And I couldn't believe my legs were gone. My legs was like my world. And I lost my job because I couldn't perform the job that I was doing. So that was a big hunk of change taken out. We both had to go to anger management. We both had to go to couples counseling. We both had to go to individual therapy. Somewhere down the line in couples counseling, we had to make up to let couple counseling work. And we had to get reunification to be unified back into as a family unit and a family group. To top it all off, we're still together. We're still together, the same woman. I couldn't do anything to her that wouldn't reflect it back on the other four kids. The relationship is scorn. They still is upset that their sister is taken away. They haven't forgiven me. They still are mad at me and the mom that they can never see their sister again. They missed out on 12 years of helping their sister grow up. They just don't get it. They just don't get a chance to like put any closure on it. And my wife is not gonna put closure on it. To this day, she still blames me. To this day, she blames me for our daughter being taken. She thinks that if I never would have looked over at this woman, it would have never happened. She don't see that her actions had our daughter taken. She keeps saying it was my fault. My wife was diagnosed as being bipolar, manic depressive. So she goes through it every other week. She replays it. She'll see somebody else with a child in a park. It ticks her off. Little things can just tick her off. Everything comes right back up. Well, if you wouldn't have never did this, we wouldn't be in this situation. Do we have to go through this again? I can't. You don't know what it feels like to lose a daughter. I birthed her. I had her. She was close to me. A man can never feel what that feels like. So I'm going, okay, I can't. But she's my daughter, too. I feel that. The medication helps, yes. Prozac, Remeron, Depakote, and Zoloft. And we still go to couples counseling. I've always been a one-woman man, so if I say I love somebody, I love them to death. All around, she's a beautiful woman. She's got a great attitude, very spiritual, but she just have her issues. She have her issues. You can never really tell what a woman's been through if you don't ask the right questions. I didn't really probe into her background when we met. It was like a whirlwind romance. So I should have asked more questions. I should have found out more about her. Some days she hates me, some days she loves me. Some days she wants to stay, some days she wants to leave. I just look for more good days than bad days.